All right, you ready to get started?
Been waiting on you, Chief.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this busted up ass version of The Unfiltered Truth. As we try on a new platform tonight, it seems that we are successful. I'm your host, Phil Jones, and this here is my friend, my comrade, Kemosabe himself, Phil Robinson III. How are you doing tonight, bro?
Well, now that we finally got it right, an hour and a half into the program, I figured we might. This is as good a time as any to make it happen. So let's do it.
Raider Nation, one, I know everybody's feeling a certain way where, you know, you're ready to burn everything up. You're ready to just lose your freaking damn mind. You lose one of your best players in a trade because, one, he didn't want to show up. He wanted to get paid. And lo and behold, you know, everybody's, you know, ready to come at John Gruden and Reggie McKenzie. But let's be real here. If I do recall when he was speaking to Paul Gutierrez from ESPN, he said that all Khalil Mack had to do was show up to camp. If he got here to camp, which he was still on the contract, they could have got something straightened out. So when I hear him, when I hear Khalil Mack in this whole press conference from yesterday morning saying that I needed to be wanted. My man, you were wanted. They wanted you there at camp. Am I getting this wrong, Phil? Am I really getting this wrong on that definition?
Well, right now you're looking at things from the absurdity of this deal, and the validity of this deal is as follows. He wanted to be wanted, and the second that John Gruden came out and made that comment about how this defense wasn't very good with him and that they need to figure out how to make this defense better, he was disrespected and put off. It happened to be that, yes, Reggie, the way that Reggie operates and makes policy is that if you want a deal, all you got to do is show up and talk to your employer. Football is a unique enterprise in which you demand a raise by not showing up for work. And every other job in the world, that's good enough to get you fired. And so this whole deal about who called whom and who didn't call whom has been severely blown out of proportion by people who needed clicks and needed to fill information in blogs and newspapers. The reality of it is that Gruden called Mac. Mac ignored him. Why did Mac ignore him? Because Mac and his agent gave them a number that they wanted, and the Raiders thought that they were crazy all the way up until the time that Aaron Donald got said number and probably exceeded said number, and at which point Gruden couldn't bring himself to give a player, non-quarterback, $140 million, 90 guaranteed, and a $60 million escrow account up front. They probably were looking at paying something barely above what Von Miller made, his, what was it, $70 million maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe $75 million guaranteed with maybe 30 or 40 up front, and then 100, 125, 100, 125 million is probably what they floated him. I've never seen it, so I don't know. I'm just purely speculating, but lately my speculation's been pretty dead on.
Well, all I can say is, you know, it's done. Raiders get their two first round picks, one for 2019, one for 2020. They also get that sixth round in 2019 and a third round in 2020. They give the Bears a, what was it? I believe it was a second round pick and a sixth round.
That was stupid. I don't know why in the hell Reggie, it's because Ryan Pace and Reggie have a good relationship, as they said, because it had to be. Because there's no other reason in the world why in the hell they would give a pick and Khalil Mack to the Bears without getting a player back. I don't care if they got two first. It wasn't even in the same year. They got one now and one next year, and they're giving up a second to make sure that they sweeten the deal for Chicago. And they already gave him Khalil Mack, so I think that's bullshit.
I clearly agree with that one. That was just like...
Or that was a horrific portion of the trade. That was stupid.
No, I couldn't agree more. That was utter bullshit, you know? When you really look at it, you're just like, hold on, you mean to tell me there's some, you're giving up a second-round pick to these motherfuckers?
Khalil Mack wasn't enough. They needed a second.
They didn't need shit. They could have had Mack, and that was it.
That's that. I wouldn't even gave him that. But that's where we found ourselves. The money that Mack got from the Bears is money that is going to hamstring and handicap that franchise for the next 6 years. In the reality, and I was read an article by Bill Barnwell
talking about. So you read the same thing I read.
Yeah, how in order for Mack to play up to that contract, he really has, because what it is they like to underpay for production, and he would have to play at about a rate of $38 million, which I would assume would mean that he'd need to acquire, run up something like 40 sacks for the Bears in order to validate that contract. And he's just simply not going to do it. They're not going to win. They're not going to win in Chicago. I do like the core nucleus they got, the young team that they got moving forward. But Khalil Mack is not going to win any games for the Bears. Mitchell Trubisky is going to win games for the Bears. He's going to be the key to their season. So as long as...
Not even that, Phil. Not even that. Like, financially... I really think that they're fucked in the ass, because let's be real here. So when 2019 comes, you still got to fill up your 53-man roster. You know, you got draft picks right there. You're going to have to get some new free agents, knowing how much they're probably going to be demanding. Yes, you're going to only have like $21 million salary cap. Now, because 2019 and 2020 are the years you really need to pay attention to. Here comes 2020. Yes, they have $46 million, but only 23 players will be active on that roster. So that's a lot of re-signing. And then here comes, I need to get ready to put up Mitchell Trubisky's fifth-year option. Oh, lo and behold, I need to pay Jordan Howard. Oh, lo and behold, I need to play Leonard Floyd. Plus my draft, plus other free agents. Now, you want to talk about somebody that's going to be cap-strapped? The Bears will be cap-strapped for the next couple of seasons. Shit, screw it. I go to 2021.
They are going to be cap strong for a while. They
Hold on. 17 active players. And you like I said, you're going to have to, if Trubisky does good, if he's average, they're like, okay, that's a quarterback that we can get. Or if he's below average, here's the other thing, Phil. They need a quarterback. We have two of the first round fucking picks. Do you really think they're going to be able to get a quarterback in any of those two drafts?
Sure. If they get bad, if it gets bad enough for them, they can always retrade Mac. Especially when he gets disgruntled with the fact that his quarterback may not be able to play, and he's ready to get out of, he's ready to get out of Chicago, especially after that guaranteed money has run out. Because you see that.
Let's be real. You think they want to? They would be in a worse position than what Miami was. That's a $24 million cap hit. That's $13 million in dead money automatically.
It depends entirely on how they structured it. If they gave them the signing bonus, then from that point on, that was part of that. There's $30 million left over. He's working at $24 million a year, you said. So basically, his first three years are the ones that are guaranteed and part of the fourth. But if they
I'm reading his contract right here. He has a potential out in 2020. But if they let go of him in 2022, my apologies. That's $6 million in dead cap right there. They'll be paying Mac. Basically, they got Mac set all the way until age 33. And let's see. He gets a $6.8 million signing bonus for this year. Same for next year. Same for 2020. Same for 2021. But roster bonus for 19, 20, and 21 for 4.2, 3.9, and $200,000. His base salary this year, $7 million, $11 million for next year, $13 million, then $17 million. Ooh, so year four automatically it'll be 4 years, $90 million. Whew.
No,
yeah, so within 4 years it'll be $90 million.
That's about what I figured. So by about the time that they really get hamstrung in terms of salary cap, they'll probably be able to cut him.
Man, all I can say right there is, whoo.
So the real issue will be, will he stay healthy throughout this entire deal? And once it gets to year three, where exactly do they see themselves? Is it still a good deal, or are they looking to get out from underneath that albatross of a contract, which is more likely than not what's going to end up happening? Because if you look at free agent acquisitions with the way they've been signing for all this money, they're getting their guaranteed money and then they're cut. They're either being cut or they're demanding the trade to get out.
Well, real talk, if you look at if they end up cutting Mac or if they end up trading Mac, again, that means they would be the losers in this. I see, the thing is, I think everybody's looking at what's going on currently now instead of the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not. Hold on, the Bears got a much larger problem, because you're thinking if everybody decides to stay patient and abide by the new CBA rookie wage scale, which Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald have just shattered, because they have taken this attempt to regulate what rookies do and thrown it back 10 years to where rookies just held out for however much money their agent could get them. And now the new thing is just threatening your, like we said earlier, threatening your employer to not show up until they pay you or trade you to somebody who will. And that was what this wage scale was supposed to eliminate, and now it's been shot to shit. And you mentioned Leonard Floyd and Jordan Howard and Mitchell Trubisky. They could have a very serious, or if I'll give you one better. Kevin White is coming up. They already ignored his fifth-year option, so they'll have to pay him next year.
It all depends on what he does.
Absolutely, it all depends on what he does. So they are truly hoping that their core players, Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Jordan Howard, what's his name, the little guy.
Yeah, Tariq Cohen.
Tariq Cohen, there you go. And whatnot. They already down a tight end. The tight end is gone for till week 8, or is he done for the year?
He's gone till week 8, but they got Deion Sims, and they got Trey Burton.
Yeah, so right now they're skating. They got talent, but they're skating. The depth isn't looking good, and they're not going to be able to replace it with anybody but late round draft picks because they won't be able to pay anybody.
Nah, you're absolutely right. So, but like I said, I'm curious. You know, let's go and look at Mr. Jordan Howard real quick. See if I can pull him up.
With the upgrades in line that they made and a wide receiver that's
now here's the other thing. Then you also gotta look. I gotta pay Roquan Smith.
Well, he's going to take a couple years before he can demand a new contract.
Yeah, but it's going to come down to it. Yeah, Jordan Howard, he's still on that rookie contract.
They're going to have to pay him, and he should be demanding a ton of money probably at the end of this year.
Yeah, and the thing about it, so he was on that 4-year, $2.5 million contract.
Second round.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's going to be asking. He's going to be paid now.
So he was a fifth round pick in the 2016 draft.
Yep.
He's just turned, what, 23 this year?
Yeah, he's going to get paid.
He won't get any 50 options, so. 2019, his last year. Jordan Howard, let's look at his stats. Now, Raider Nation, I know you're like wondering why the fuck are we talking about the Bears, but, you know, I like to see how shit backfires on people. Everybody runs up and say, oh, yeah, you know, the Raiders effed up. Well, let's see how the Bears effed up.
Because not all the Bears reporters are happy about this deal. In fact, some were talking about the same old Bears.
All right, we look at, and he's put up excellent stats for running back. So his rookie year, 252 rushes for 1,300 yards, 6 touchdowns. And then 2017, you know, I think that was kind of like an up and down year because I think he had got hurt. He still managed to put up a 1,000 plus yards. So he had 1,100 and then 9 touchdowns. So within these 2 years, he's putting up downright good numbers and he reached the Pro Bowl.
And the only reason his numbers went down was because he split carries with Tariq Cohen. That's the only reason why his numbers went down.
You're absolutely right. And let's see. Because this 2016 season, he was more of a factor in the receiving category as well. But, you know, Tariq Cohen took more of that. They wanted to, like, give him some rest.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because he's the fresh legs, he's the bell cow, and that was the guy they should be giving the ball to. And Tariq Cohen is one hell of a change of pace.
Oh, absolutely. After he came from out of North Carolina A&T?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did an excellent job. Look back at some of his film, because lo and behold, Brandon Parker used to block for him.
Mm-hmm. Did a good job there, but bring that to the Raiders.
When it comes down all the way to the end, Bears may look good on paper right here, and now you got crazy Kanye West predicting a Super Bowl win for the Bears, so you guys know you didn't effed up now.
Did he really come out and say that?
He really did, bruh.
No, when you got those types of ringing endorsements, how can you fail?
what's the word I'm looking for? You guys are fucked.
Maybe not. It seems he likes to side with winners. Maybe he knows something we don't.
Well, he is from that. He is from Chicago. You got to remember.
Yeah.
Look, you ain't getting. He ain't gonna get the Meek Mills treatment. I think everybody loves Meek Mills more than this fool. Meek Mills actually has done something.
Yeah.
What has Kanye West? Oh yeah, Meek Mills is no longer listed as the man taking L's. It's more the Kanye West that is taking the L's.
No, I hear it mostly.
But, you know, overall, like I said.
Let's get back to the business at hand, because we spent a lot of time talking about this, and rightfully so, because it's the hot.
But you know what? We needed to get it out of our, system, just like everybody else, Phil.
No, that's real. That's real, and I'll close it with this. I am absolutely 100% against the trade. This should have never, ever happened. There is...
No, it shouldn't happen. It hurt, but, you know,
the money.
It's a business.
Yeah, and the money was just too much. You want to say, with the salary cap going up, I want to say even in a couple years, this their two salaries combined with Carr and Mack would have been $48 million and accounted for 27% of the cap. When you break it down like that, it doesn't seem that much. But that's assuming that in 3 years the cap makes it to $200 million, which it probably will with the way that it's been steadily increasing, and it's sitting at $190 million now. You would think that 27% wasn't too much to pay two superstars, but like Gruden is insinuating, a defensive player who doesn't handle the ball does not win you football games. Every so often, he will make a play that will contribute to you winning the football game. And on one occasion, when he knocked the ball out of Cam Newton's hands and picked off his pass and took it to the house, he won a game for them. But that is highly unlikely and definitely not the norm. And not to mention, when you're giving somebody that much guaranteed money, injuries is going to be a major issue, because the second he gets hurt, everybody's going to want to come down this road talking about how it was a bad investment from the start. And even after lengthy holdouts, usually players get hurt in that season that they held out. And then Mac, he's not had injury issues before, but a preseason training camp long holdout usually gives you around a 40% chance of being injured during the season.
Yeah, it's true. I tried to deny it a little bit, but I was like, it happens. So, moving on. We have a new roster, new setup. It's time for us to go on and cover that up.
So,
you good?
Moving forward, what I'm most worried about is not the pass rush, but the edge setting and the run defense. Because that is the one aspect of Mac that everybody truly underplayed, is how well he set the edge and how dominant he was in run defense. It wasn't just his pass rush that was getting it done. You couldn't run to that side of the field without running into him. And Carradine has been good against the run. The interior defenders have looked fantastic against the pass with the two rookies, Hall and Hurst. And Justin Ellis is supposed to be the run stopper, but they're still now with two rookies over Mario Edwards, or since he's been cut, it now is really going to come down to how well they play against starters all game long. Whether they get helped with the blitz, they get schemed up, or they just get better. Because part of the rookies' pass rush is running so hard and going through guys that they open up natural lanes for draws and delayed runs, which is something that I'm worried about with Gurley, or perhaps they even line him up a couple steps back and his natural draw and his natural position so that he can allow the line to get that extra time to develop some natural holes and attack the run defense, which wasn't looking exactly like it was the greatest in the world during the preseason either.
Well, this is one thing I look at. You still keep a veteran presence in that on that D-line. You got Frosty Rucker. He's had a decent career. So, you know, you look at it. Let's see. Combination of tackles. Total tackles, 176. Sacks for a D-tackle. He has 21 and a half. And an interception in his career. You know, some things you look for, but there's still a veteran presence with on that defensive line besides Justin Ellis. And then you can also look at this. You can also play Tank Carradine inside as well. Now, there could be some possibilities where we see Fadal Brown coming on that side. There's some we saw some setups where we saw Maurice Hurst playing on the edge, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's actually.
And how that looked, man, he held it down.
Well, I don't know so much. I don't know so much as if it was an edge or they set him up to where he played over the tackle. But what it was that his series of moves took him from his natural position and put him in not his natural position, but the position he lined up in, and basically got him to enter right exactly where the ball was coming through. And when I saw it a couple of times, I was confused. But the other part of it is it helps avoid the double team, which is what his Achilles heel is. PJ Hall, on the other hand, is a double team destroyer. But in that same aspect, while he's so busy blowing up the double team, he leaves a gap for somebody to go right around him, which is what I'm worried about.
Well, this is the one thing about Paul Gunther's defense. You ever notice that he never really runs with three linebackers? He usually runs with the two linebackers set. Usually you'll have multiple coverage going on during that process, but you're probably going to have one of the linebackers shoot through that gap, causing disruption for the running back and for that offensive line. Like, oh snap, I didn't pick up the linebacker. So, with the amount of strength that we have on this D line, and the amount of pressure they have called. Now, granted, people are going to try to tell me, well, Phil, you know, this was just preseason. We got the regular season. I'm going to go back and look at last year, the year before last. Going all the way back to 2014. Did we generate any pressure for run defense and for pass defense? Yes or no?
In 2016, it was decent.
Well, I'm saying within when you saw when it was like preseason.
No.
All right, then. It was decent for run support because there was a little bit of – it was more blitzing because you had guys like Corey James, and then you were starting to utilize – Carl Joseph as the main guy coming in on the blitz. They didn't do that last season. What did you have this year when we saw preseason? Did we not see Carl Joseph coming in, shooting in on the blitz? Or you had a safety come down. He was that guy. Instead, they had Reggie Nelson in the box, but lo and behold, we're not going to be dealing with that now. We don't have slow molasses, and the way this defense is set up, you don't have to worry about guys using their full potential speed in this defense. Still with me?
No, I'm here, but I'm. You said take it back 4 years, and I happen to take it back 4 years because I have team rankings for Gunther's defense in Cincinnati against rushing touchdowns and rushing yards. And
all right, all ears.
And in 2014, they were ranked 27th. In 2015, they were ranked number 6. In 2016, they were ranked 13th. And in 2017, they were ranked 18th in terms of rushing touchdowns. Now, yards given up, in 2014, they were 20th. In 2015, they were 7th. 2016, they were 21st. And in 2017, they were 30th. So what that tells me is that the run is where they struggle. It could have been personnel issues as they were getting older in Cincinnati, but that is an a middle of the pack rushing defense is what I'm looking at, is what his career is as a defensive coordinator.
What were the stats in 2017, you said?
They were 18th in rushing TDs and they were 30th in rushing yards.
All right, let's see. All right, so you had okay.
Said not retrospect, but in the inverse, the Rams last year were 9th in rushing attempts, 8th in rushing yards, and 5th in rushing touchdowns. The Rams were good running the football.
Okay, so let's look at this.
What are we looking at, Phil? We can't see it with you.
I'm just pulling up the list of injuries.
Injuries and players go down. Losing Khalil Mack in the preseason to a trade is an injury. So does that mean now that the team gets to go to shit, that they don't have to defend the run?
No. I'm looking at the injuries that the Bengals had on that line.
Hey, but on the real though, shit happens. As they say, next man up. No, the standard doesn't change, and those yards, whether injury or not, those yards are going to get tacked onto the defense the same way that these will without Khalil Mack.
And you said 2015 was the season they were ranked, what, 5th or 7th?
6th in rushing touchdowns, 7th in yards.
That's 2015?
Yes.
Okay. Ah.
Also the year Marvin Lewis blew it bad.
Everybody was majority healthy.
Mm-hmm.
But a wild thing. Now here's the wild thing. When it started looking like a hot mess, this is where it gets wild, Phil. Because when it started looking like a hot mess, was when Vontaze Buffett came back.
I think he gets a bum rap. He just plays hard from whistle to whistle. Plays the game.
He gets penalized a lot.
Yeah. He missed his era. He should have came in the 90s or the early 2000s. Back when he was able to hit somebody.
It sucks. But you got to remember, that Bengals team was hell of a lot penalized for a lot of games.
And it wasn't just games.
It may not have been the amount that the Raiders usually put up, but it was probably some of the amounts where it's like, oh, you know, it's just half this and go, blah, blah, blah. But then again, yes, I see what you're saying, that D-line has been a struggle for him. But my thing is this, if, you know, that hasn't been we haven't seen a struggle with our D-line. Maybe it was personnel, maybe –
we haven't struggled.
Repeat that again.
I said we haven't seen a struggle in our D line. Our D line's been struggling since the 90s.
Hey, we haven't seen that struggle during preseason. Hopefully, that can transition over to the start of the regular season
come next Monday. Now, I know there's some stats on his past defense, which was really a hot fucking mess for us over the years.
Now, in terms of past, this is where Gunther has made his hay, and with the addition of Derek Ainsley, it should only get better. And in 2014, they were ranked third. In 2015, they were second. 2016, they were 11th. And in 2017, they were number eight against in passing touchdowns. And they were 8th, 11th, 20th, and 20th in passing yards from 2014, 15, 16, and 17. And in terms of interceptions, they were the third-ranked team, the third-ranked team, the fourth-ranked team, and then ranked 20th. So last year was not a great year for the defense, but in terms of no-fly patrol, that speaks volumes for what they can be capable of.
No, it does. Now, if I'm right, where were the Raiders ranked with their defensive secondary this year?
Badly. Probably 32.5, maybe even 33. Not this
year, but last year. My apologies, you guys.
What was that?
I said this year, but I meant last year. My apologies.
Yeah, definitely. This year they're going to be a lot better. But last year their pass defense was abysmal. It was really bad. In fact, they went 10 weeks, almost 11 weeks without an interception, which was an NFL record and unheard of. And what some would call an improbability, because you would have said impossible until it happened.
Ah, they really didn't have a big man, and this is what I don't get. You know, going back to that run defense, you had Pat Sims, but mind you, Pat Sims is old.
Yeah,
and then you look
at about 150 years old after that last T-bone and baked chicken.
And then I looked, he had Andrew Billings, but he was on the IR. Ooh. Andrew Billings, that's their nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he hit the IR, and you're just like, damn, they took an L right there.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you got to remember, well, I think it was... Was it 2015? Yeah, it was 2015. Didn't they have like Michael Johnson? He had went to Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Went down there and stunk up the joint, didn't do shit, and then came back.
Yeah.
And so I actually thought that the Raiders were once he got cut from Cincinnati and they determined they weren't bringing Mac back, I figured that would have been the most natural of fits for them, but he decided that the Bengals and a 1-year deal was where he wanted to go, and which is understandable. He didn't want to pick uproot his family and move him for a year, which is the life of an NFL player.
Okay, so that D-line in 2016, you had Carlos Dunlap, you had D'Amata Pecco,
mm-hmm.
Geno Atkins, Michael Johnson.
When they were young.
Huh?
When they were young.
I'm saying from the 2016 season.
Or young.
On that D-line.
Yeah. Well, I would say that the 2016 season wasn't so much as them and the aging of Ray Mauluga and Vontaze Burfict being on and off the field at given points during the season for various reasons.
Mauluga couldn't stay healthy in the middle. Vontaze Burfict, actually, he was up and down with injuries. Let's see. You look at the linebacker situation. Sometimes that can play a part too. And then you look, you got Adam Jones. He's up in age now.
Hey, don't say that to him. He'll still punch you in the mouth and knock you out.
Hey, look, I ain't a man fighting with Popeye's chicken in my hand. He will catch that bad hand.
He said, look, he'll take Popeye Jones, Pac-Man Jones, his little power pellets. Speaking of Pac, we get to see, Mari Cooper gets to see Pac-Man Jones twice a year now.
That don't mean nothing.
Yeah, well, he gonna need to redeem himself, because the last time he saw Pac-Man Jones, he was getting his head slammed into his helmet on the turf in Oakland like he was a sucker.
So you think that was – so you're justifying that shit? You think that shit was right?
I don't think that was right at all. I'm merely stating what happened.
I mean, shit, first off, where the fuck are your teammates?
Is that not what happened?
My whole thing is this. If I ever saw one of my teammates go down like that, somebody getting the ass beat.
Well, you think about stuff like that, and you know, Amari Cooper's a good guy and a good kid, and that's not the taking it to fisticuffs isn't the way that he chose to go about it. It was a football play, and he chose to be a man about it and get up and move on to the next play. You know, certain receivers come to mind, like Andre Johnson or DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Rison, even, who've been known to showcase those hands when things got a little tough.
Nah, you're right.
I'm just saying, OBJ, you know, I'm just saying. There's a little dog missing, is what it looks like.
What was the Bengals' run defense ranking in 2015?
Sixth in touchdowns, seventh in yards.
Okay, what was it for pass defense?
Second in touchdowns, 11th in yards.
Damn.
Third in interceptions. The first 3 years of his tenure, their pass defense was impeccable. Top three.
Okay. Overall defense, what was it?
In terms of points, in 2014, they were number two. 2015, they were 12. 2016, they were 8th. 2017, they were 16th. So at no point in time during his career as a defense coordinator have they finished in the bottom half of the league in terms of giving up points. And points is what wins you games, not yards.
No, you're absolutely right. So overall, what would you say about us with having Paul Gunther as defensive coordinator rolling into this season?
I would have felt a lot more comfortable if Paul Gunther had Khalil Mack, but that's not where we're at. I would say that with this, he and Derek Ainsley, they got some young influx of talent where they got Gerrion Conley, Nick Nelson, Daryl Worley will play at some point. I want to say 4 games into the season, he'll get a chance to come back and play. Rashawn Melvin has had a bad preseason. We're going to call it what it is. But he's expected to contribute to this team something that other than what he put on the field in these particular games. And if the secondary is where he makes his hay, then there's a lot more athleticism in there, and I really, truly had hoped that Melifonwu would have been able to become the next George Iloka, but it wasn't in the card. But they can be top 15. I think that they could be top 15. They could finish in the top half. I like the talent there. It's just going to be a question of how well do they gel together, how well does the scheme cover up deficiencies, and how well do they communicate.
Now, let's put it like, okay, so now let's look at this. We say, you say, so you say about top 15. Now, we look at the Raiders' offense. Okay, you got Jordy, you got Amari, you got Jarrett. O-line looks like it's going to be coming together, right? Just hopefully Donald Penn can get his feet right.
Is that where you're going with that? I have serious reservations about the Raiders' ability to run block. Serious reservations about their ability to their opponents off the line of scrimmage and push them backwards. I see that a lot of the runs that they seem to break big are runs that are basically unbalanced sides where they have extra blockers. I think currently as constructed at the tackles, the footwork on both tackles is so bad that they're going to struggle in the run game.
Now, Phil, since you just brought that up, this just brings up one thing that I don't know if you overheard me talking about. But yeah, we could definitely go into this. I think that's what they're going to be really running, Phil. The way they came out these past couple of preseason games, I don't think that's the real offense.
Oh, is that inside information, a little birdie? We speaking strictly hypotheticals? Or is that just how you feel?
That is just how I feel, you know? But, you know, I do listen to series, XM Radio, and I know a couple other folks have listened to it. I don't think, I honestly think what John Gruden has showed us in preseason is anything that we're going to be seeing in this offense this season.
I'm sure you'll see some of those power runs and a couple of those stretch zones.
I'm going to be real here. I was actually doing some digging. Some of the plays that he threw together right there, well, we already saw some of his stuff from 1998 with the split back formation, which I actually enjoyed that. And then ran a year. Then, if you go back, he did run some gun formation like he did back in Tampa Bay. So, when I look at it, I'm like, John just kind of put together a little preseason playbook of what he ran back in the day. But I really don't think that is what we're rolling with. You know it, and I know good and damn well there's more to it.
I would sincerely hope, and with the trading of Mac, I am now wary of throwing out what it is that I know, because clearly what I know and how fluid situations can be has come up to bite me. But I got to believe that he didn't spend all this time with the fired football coaches of America doing Gruden's foot QB camp and coaching his kids' high school team, doing all of this stuff that he's done, watching all of this tape to come floating up with an offense that basic. That's what I got to believe. That's what I want to believe. And that's probably what you should believe.
Say that one more time.
I said that he didn't spend all this time with the setting up the fired football coaches of America, coaching his son's high school team, working in the booth, talking to all 32 teams for the last 10 years, picking the brains of every coach imaginable, nor watching every football game, watching tape on every football game from when they started the NFL, to be coming back rolling out the basic plays that you've seen in the preseason. I don't believe it. I got to believe it, and you should too.
Well, Phil, you don't have to tell me about believing it because I already do believe it.
That's funny, though, because I wasn't talking to you.
Wow.
Talking to the listeners.
I guess you're talking to the people. I guess you're talking to the Raider Nation because...
All of you.
All of you. All of us. I couldn't agree more. Because the more and more I look at it, all around, folks are just saying, I don't think Gruden knows what he's doing. Oh, fuck Gruden. No, he doesn't know what he's doing. No.
Gruden has the utmost respect and love and admiration for Bill Belichick, and no Raider fan wants to hear it. He loves the Patriots in the Patriot way. And this is a move. This is a Bill Belichickian move, because Bill Belichick doesn't overpay guys. Let's leave it at that. He does not believe in overpaying for them, and would rather find another football player than overpay for one. And that's what it looks like is in play here for this particular situation. Is it the right move? A lot of people would say no. Say no as well, because it's one of those absurdity versus validity battles. Do you pay one man $100 million or not? Same thing could be said about a coach, or the irony of the coach accepting a $100 million contract but refusing to pay his best player $90 million.
Yeah. Overall, I'll say this right now. Everybody needs, if I'm folks, look, get on board. If you want to leave, go. There's the door. John Gruden knows what the hell he's doing. Paul Gunther knows what the hell he's doing. So there's no problem with that. This team has practiced and trained without Mac all camp, all mini camp. So they know what to expect. This offense here, this, what we've seen in preseason is not what we're going to be seeing Monday night. If you go back, they said they will be making personnel adjustments from week after week after week. So you're not going to be able to catch on and what to expect.
So they say.
As I recall, Gruden was saying that he needs guys that are football smart, that can understand this complex playbook. If you couldn't, you see that they're gone. You couldn't grasp it, you're gone. I believe they were tested. They were quizzed on it, correct?
One would assume.
And this started going back from minicamp. Now we go back and, you know, Gruden, we've seen photos where Gruden has put have the camera set up on the side of the quarterback's helmet so he can see everything.
That's right.
So when folks say he's out of touch, fall the fuck back. I'm sorry. Fall back on that one.
He's made a lot of practical, smart football moves. They have not been popular, but if I could living in the Bay Area, it comes back to let's say the trading of Monte Ellis for Andrew Bogut. You thought no way in the world can we get rid of this guy. And as soon as they got rid of this guy, they got immediately better.
Didn't they win a championship with Bogut as well on that team?
A couple.
I think it was just one.
Yeah, because they lost the next year because he broke his leg. You're right. But they were, in any case, they were playing in the championship game because of the moves that they made. And the Patriots have continued to find themselves winning divisions and in Super Bowls and conference championship games because they know when to cut players and not pay players.
Who's the edge rusher? Jones? Remember when he asked for all that money?
Bill said.
Belichick was like, oh, yeah, I pay for you. I pay for something for you, all right? I'm going to pay for your plane ticket and I'm shipping you off to Cleveland.
That's Jamie Collins.
Oh, Jamie Collins, yeah.
Jamie Collins.
They shipped off Jones.
Arizona, yeah. So Trey Flowers is their current defensive end.
Yeah. Every year you look at it, you're like, oh, Patriots can't get it together. They're going to fall apart. And they always manage to
start out, they give you a little glimmer of hope early while they're figuring out who fits where and how to do what. And then they get it together and then they get it rolling. So, but they are down their defensive coordinator. Some people will say that means nothing as long as Belichick is still on the staff, but that is attention that he has to divert from managing the entire operation to focusing on the defense.
No, you're absolutely right. So, give you guys a real quick update on the new roster. Well, the new depth chart. All right. Well, you know the starting lineup. Derek Carr, Marshawn Lynch, Keith Smith, Amari Cooper, Jordy Nelson, Jarrett Cook, Colton Miller at left tackle, Kelechi Asunale, Rodney Hudson, Gabe Jackson, Donald Penn. Now, Derek Carr's backup, A.J. McCarron.
Travesty in itself. That's a shitty position. That it was bad for him when they had the other two guys, and it didn't get any better with AJ McCarron.
Well, who did you want?
Alabama.
Who did you want?
Who did I want?
Yeah,
preseason Hall of Famer, bruh. Pat McGroin.
If you don't take your ass off, take your ass somewhere. Take your ass someone. I can't believe that shit came out of your damn mouth. Talking about, I want Pat McGlowin time.
I said Pat McGlowin.
Who do you think I am, Kid? Who do you think I am, Kid Santee?
Man. In terms of who would you have for backup quarterback? Shoot. What did the Jets give up Teddy B for?
Oh, shit. I think it was a third.
I'm just saying. I'm just you currently have them, and you haven't been doing very much with them when you've been drafting them. So we wasted one on Martavis Bryant. So I mean, you got Teddy B sitting on the bench. You don't have to be a rocket arm quarterback to make it happen in Gruden's offense. You got to have some good decision making, be quick on your feet, and able to pull it and run. That sounds like Teddy B in a nutshell.
Let's see.
I mean, in terms of backup quarterbacks, who's out there? At this stage, And at this stage in the game, the reality is that if you were waiting till now to delete get backup quarterbacks, you've waited too long. Because now I'm gonna be real and float it all the way out there because this is unfiltered. If Derek Carr goes down, they are completely fucked. The season is over, or the season is over as long as he's down. Because now AJ McCarron is not going to lead, is not going to come in not knowing the offense and successfully run it, and I don't have the faith that the blocking is going to hold up at this time. Till I see otherwise, I'm going to maintain my reservations about the run game, not because I think that Marshawn Lynch doesn't have anything. I don't think that they're going to get the proper push on the edges, and if they can't get that push at the point of attack, they're really going to be in a bad situation, regardless of if they're running double or triple tight every single play.
Now, what side did you really not see your push?
What side did I not see a push? The right one? haven't seen one out of the right one all the entire preseason. I've seen a lot of.
Are you going based off the stretch plays?
I've gone based off what I've seen.
I mean, I went back and looked at a couple of them damn games, and I mean, Phil.
They're running this.
Hold on. I stayed my ass up from 10 p.m. to 4 in the freaking morning, and then went right back to work, then came back home and re-looked at everything. Gruden has been running the same shit all preseason. You don't think someone's going to figure that shit out? You know they still show film in preseason for your next opponent. Two, I looked at who was playing the right tackle when they weren't getting the push. Now, granted, there were times they were getting a push, but lo and behold, we had a certain person being penalized nonstop. They were getting a push. Phil, they were getting a push.
But hold on.
You gonna let me finish? You better let me finish this. You had a certain Pharaoh Brown holding every damn time. And then I look, I'm like, he didn't need to hold.
Not at all.
So technically speaking, they were getting a push. And then sometimes, you know, if it was a zone, sometimes it's kind of like a delay. And there was times I'm like, oh, damn, they got the run. They got the push. Okay, it's a big run. And you see that away from that play, Pharaoh Brown was holding and he did not need to hold.
Right.
Now you got to remember, we didn't see our starting tight end. You didn't see Lee Smith. Not that many motions were ran. You saw runs of north, west, east. And that was, you know, it was basically it. But yeah, on that left side, you did see a very strong push from Colton Miller, from Kelechi Osemele. Now, when we started seeing Gabe and Donald, and I'm hoping Donald's been working nonstop to get his footwork down, I suggest a man work on doing tap dancing.
It's ripped muscle. And 14 years of trying to do it from the other side of the field, you can't just, that's, you don't just get out there and suddenly erase that. It's a lot of instinctual things that I've watched him do, and it's not necessarily his fault that he's having these issues. It's just this is the way that he's disciplined his body to be, and breaking bad habits is not easy. And breaking bad habits in 10 to 14 days playing a position in the NFL at the highest level is asking a lot, especially when he's out of coming back from being injured and out of shape.
No, I agree with you. Well, we will be seeing a lot of tight end on that side.
Maybe even a tight end in the wing. Who knows?
To be honest, when I went back and looked at the film and zoomed in and looked at his footwork, if he can get that footwork down right, but still I would keep a tight end on that side.
Well, that is the strong side of the formation, so that usually is what it is.
So all you got to see is Jared Cook make a chip. You'll probably have a running back do a delay, block, and then go. But as long as he can push him away from the play, he should be fine. But then again, like you said, Phil, you know, it's like you're trying to teach a new dog, trying to teach an old dog tricks. But granted, he has gotten some work in that spot before, again, when he was playing against the Saints. So he played from, what, middle third quarter all the way to fourth quarter. So he played for a quarter and a half. And then when he did that, he didn't allow pressure. That's the thing, Phil. I think more of this has to do with him being in shape. Because I'm looking at what he did against the Saints, going up against Cam Jordan. He took him out of the picture, gave Derek the time that he needed. Derek did not get sacked, knock on wood. Hopefully it can be like that on Monday night, knock on wood. I'm going to be real, Phil. I think he was trying to make an excuse.
You think he was trying to make an excuse?
I think because we kept hearing he was saying that he might not want to go back to the left side when he came back.
Yeah, well,
He said, this might not be permanent. You know, I might end up going back to the left side. Yeah. So my whole thing is, can't be making any more excuses.
No, nobody want to hear that shit.
Exactly.
You've come up and you've made waves and you want this. This is where we are now. This is what we need to contribute. You say that you're a team player and you're ready to do this, and I believe you to be a man of your word. So,
yeah.
Do.
But really, Phil, overall, I'm going to say I still have hope in this team from the defensive side of the ball and the offensive side of the ball.
The corners are going to help. The corners and the increase in secondary play, the elevated secondary play is going to help the defensive line a lot. The interior pressure that they've drafted is going to help the defensive line a lot. Arden Keith, I want to see what he does. My worry about him is not his pass rushing, it's his run defense. I think that he's still a little light by the NFL standard. Even if he's got a great bend, but bend doesn't help you when the offensive line is coming at you to push you off your spot.
Did we watch him get knocked on his ass in week 3?
No.
Yes or no?
I don't believe so.
Did we see him get knocked on his ass in week 2 when he came in?
How long did we see him? 5 plays?
He held his ground.
Was he starting?
Yeah, he came in a few times in the first half.
Was he playing the entire game?
Nope, but he came in on plays that was a run and pass.
Make no mistake, I am pulling for the young man, and I expect that he'll be just fine. He'll have some rookie jitters and make some rookie mistakes. But I expect him to be solid. The reason why I'm asking is because he has not been game planned against by an NFL offensive coordinator or head coach or a combination of the two.
Hey, the way they brought him in and out, I would keep it that way. Nobody really can get a good game plan on him coming into Monday night.
There you go.
And then you're looking for Dahl Brown. That is straight up pressure, my friend.
Dahl Brown has been a discovery. Dahl Brown came out and has been another one of those that has made the most of his opportunity when he got it, because he's been a force. He's been a force on the defensive line. Every time he's been out there, he's made plays, he's collapsed the pocket, and really added to the youth movement on the defensive line.
And here's one thing I noticed. People were trying to get Dahl Brown late in the season. And I think it was Cleveland that was looking at him. New England was looking at grabbing him. Because they know the boy can play. And Jack Del Rio was not using it.
No, he wasn't. Jack Del Rio had a doghouse that had to have been a mile long and 3 miles deep, because he never let anybody out of it.
I know Dahl Brown got a little nasty side.
I like it.
Now, mind you, when you look at Dahl Brown when he came out, he should have been drafted within the 4th and 5th round. A lot of people thought he was going to be lazy, but he hasn't shown any sign of that. I hope it stays that way.
Nah, he's hungry, and he's playing like he's hungry, and I like it. That is primarily what Gruden is looking for, is football players who are hungry, ready to go out there and play like they're starving for a meal.
And put it like this. Man, old boy's Nary's just like me. Man is starving. He's determined. Us Aries boys, we are hella determined to get our job done. But Phil, it's been fun. We chatted for a long period of time.
Just a bit, a little tidbit. But while we've been talking, I've been on Facebook Live and actually uploaded it to Twitter and LinkedIn. So this should be interesting to see how it does out, how everybody likes to see my ugly face and see if they're not petrified by my dreads here.
Oh, Lord. Scaring mankind is not good, Phil.
Bah! No, I'm just kidding.
All right, Phil, let's go on and wrap this up. It's been fun, Raider Nation. Folks, this will be uploaded on our Twitter and Facebook accounts. It'll also be up on Spotify.
And Anchor, which is a new platform for us.
So we'll be rolling with a little bit of Anchor, and then we'll be rolling with iSports Radio on Spreaker as well.
And be bringing a Facebook Live simulcam to us as soon as we figure it out, so you can see us both looking at each other and all of our horrific features.
Hey, look, don't be putting no ugly on me, Ricky Bobby.
Now look at here, Mr. Buckshot Bill.
Right, look, I know these folks tired of hearing our shit. All right, y'all. Y'all take care. Enjoy the rest of your week. We're out.
God bless. And remember, you've been listening to The Unfiltered Truth.